Hey, redesigners, welcome to a bonus episode of Women Over 50 A Life Redesigned. Yes, I said a bonus episode because in this episode, the tables are turned and I am the interviewee. But before we get started, I would love to ask you a huge favor, especially if you enjoy my podcast. I have a Patreon account where you can be a podcast ambassador for just $3 a month and support my DIY independent podcast. I will never be a Brené Brown. I guess I should never say never, but I would like to keep this where I can not have to have sponsors or ads. So consider becoming a podcast ambassador. Link down below in the show notes. I was interviewed by Julie Scott of Confident Women in the Community on Facebook, and I was it was fun. It was fun telling my story. It's been a while since I have been a podcast guest, so I was a bit rusty. But Julie and I have become friends. We're going to work on some other projects together. But you know, it's just a candid. I'm an open book. I feel that telling our stories motivates and inspires people, and also lets other women over 50 know that they are not alone in this world. So I hope you enjoy this interview with myself.
Okay, I think we are recording. Hello, hello, hello. We have another installment today of our interview series in the Confident Women's Community. And today I am blessed to have Shelly Dryman with me. She is the founder of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned podcast. She also has a Facebook group that is growing like wildfire under the same name that she is running skillfully. And she's here today with me to share a little bit of her story. So I'm just going to let Shelly take it away. And thank you so much for being here.
Well, hey, Julie, I am super, super excited to be here. Honored to be a guest. I'm usually the person on the other side doing the interview. So this is a skill I'm going to have to hone all over again. But I am the creator of the group Women Over 50 A Life Redesigned, and the podcast, because I basically wanted to get my story out. And the podcast is a whole set of women I've interviewed who have had transformations in their lives. You know, they were stuck in one place, something happened, and then they created and redesigned their life, you know, basically created a life they love.
Right.
So that all started for me when I was almost 50 in the December 2011. And it's kind of a traumatic story. So I want to let people know that before I get started. But I had left a 10-year relationship with a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 years after we were actually divorced, and I was still hanging on to him. That kind of relationship is so hard to get out of.
100%.
And yeah, and I didn't have any closure, and I didn't understand what was happening. And I was just like trying to figure out what was happening in my life. And I found myself, you know, like drunk texting him at 2 a.m. Here I was, a 48-year-old woman. Yeah, seriously, it's embarrassing now. But like drunk texting my ex-husband, you know, my life sucks. It's all your fault. You're a, you know, whatever bad name I could call him. And then of course that just created a cycle of drama. And one December morning, I found myself going to work to a job I was in that I hated. And I was stuck at the train tracks. I was the first one. There was a train going by, which was a pretty common occurrence at that place. And I was hungover. I drank a lot back in those days. And I had already been mired down in drama because apparently I had drunk texted my ex-husband the night before. And I just sat there and just listening to the train on the tracks. My head was pounding, and I just thought, I've had enough of this life. Wow. Something has got to give. And my first thought was, I'll just run my car into the train. That'll solve my problem.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, and you know, an interesting thing is that, well, not interesting, but a sad thing is that a lot of women that I interview on my podcast, that's their first inclination. It's like, I'll just end my life,
Yeah,
you know.
sure.
And I thought, I'll show that bastard. I'll just run my car into the But instead, I came to my senses. And what really brought me to my senses, Julie, was that I have three kids and six grandkids. So I could, well, four grandkids at that time, but I could not imagine how my grandkids would react. Why did Anja do that? They call me Anja. Why would Anja do that? So that really snapped me back into reality. And what I did was the train went by, I went to the office, went into the human resources department, and I quit my job. That I gave them 6 weeks notice that day.
Oh my God.
No flipping clue what I was going to do. But here's the thing is that I don't advocate this being the best way to do things, but sometimes you have to like jolt yourself into reality. And that was a big jolt for me. So I went and quit my job. 6 weeks later, I was in Colorado on an
Well,
8 month sabbatical.
there's nothing like, I mean, it's like, like you said, sometimes you just have to do something jarring or, but also I think it's about just like, you set a time. It's like 6 weeks, I'm out of here in 6 weeks. I mean, I remember when I left my job, I gave them 3 months. That's how brave I am. I mean, still. But anyways, that 6 weeks, it's like you're taking that safety net right out from underneath yourself. And it's amazing what we can accomplish when we know we have to, right?
Exactly. Because I left, I had no job out there. I knew one person, and I lived with in their. They had a full basement. I lived in her full basement. No job, no money. I had a car. I was still making payments on, but I knew I had to take responsibility for my life, and
Ooh.
that was one way that I did that.
So before that, you feel, I mean, you said you had to take responsibility. Before that, how were you living?
Oh my gosh, everything was everybody's fault. My life was not my fault. It started way back in the day. I grew up in an abusive family. My dad was an alcoholic, and my parents were both victims of tragedy as they grew up. You know, both my mom's parents died tragic deaths before she was 11. She had polio. My dad was in Korea. His father was an illiterate dirt farmer who was also an alcoholic and beat his wife. So, you know, they just had all this trauma. And I didn't really realize that till I got older. They were just doing the best they can with what they knew. But for a long time, I blamed my life on my parents. It was if only my parents had. And then I blamed my life on my husband. If only my husband had, on my job, on my narcissistic ex-husband. If he wasn't such a, you know, a-hole, then my life would not be like it was. But sitting at that train track, I realized that my life was my responsibility. And it is so uncomfortable. It was for me anyway. So uncomfortable to take responsibility for my life, because once you stop blaming everybody else, you blame yourself. And no, who wants to do that? Nobody wants to be like, my life's my fault. You know, it's so much easier just to blame everybody else, because then you don't have to take responsibility and you don't have to change anything. So basically, I just started, you know, from that day at saying, I'm giving you 6 weeks, I started taking responsibility for my life.
Oh, wow. I mean, 'cause that's the thing. It's like when you play that victim role that, before we started recording, I mentioned that. It's like playing the victim, I see it so often. I mean, and it is kind of like the default for so many people just to be like, well, he made me do this, or my parents made me do this, or somebody, again, you keep pointing out to everyone else and you never have to, be responsible, but you want to take responsibility for all the good stuff, right? It's like, I did that. Anything good that turned out, it's like, I am a boss. I
Totally
did that. I
mine.
totally did that. But it's like when things go south, it's like,
Yeah.
But I mean, there's just so much power in owning it and taking it, but it isn't easy, like you said.
It's not. It's super, super uncomfortable because, you know, I wish I could articulate how I really felt when this was happening. But now that I do take responsibility, I just feel better. I just feel better about my life because it has allowed me to, well, for example, you know, back before the train thing, I never would have done this ever. I never would have come on and told you my story or felt like I could lead, you know, a group of 4,000 women into, you know, whatever we're doing over there in that group. So it allows you to, if you're a victim, and there are truly victimizations in the world. So I'm not talking about, you know, like true trauma victims here, but people like me who, you know, just decide to play the victim. You don't really have the impetus or the courage or the confidence to go out in the world and create something for yourselves. That victimhood, that not taking responsibility for your life really holds you back. Mm. You know, whether it's a mindset or whatever, but it really truly holds you back. When if you knew me back in, you know, 2009, 2010, 2011, when I was really going through that, you would not believe it. You'd be like, well, that's not Shelly. That's not you. That what? That's an imposter. that's a fake Shelly. Yeah. So it allows you to taking responsibility really gives you the motivation to go out there and be yourself and show up fully in the world and inspire and encourage and motivate and give confidence to other people. And it's that confidence that you have. Now, yeah, I made some wrong decisions. I've had some bad turns since then, but I owned them. And also by owning them, I can look at them and say, here's where I went wrong. Here is how I can correct this. And I correct it and I move on. It's no longer a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, share with me a little bit more about you're in the basement of your friend's home. So, I mean, can you share some of like the steps that you made, some of the baby steps that you made, you know, kind of, because I know you don't just flip a switch and take 100% responsibility. I mean, what were do you have some baby steps that you could share? Because I know that, you know, it's easy to say, take responsibility for your life. It's like, but how do I do that? You know, how do you think you did that?
Well, I did it by creating space for quiet in my life. Mm. And I know that not everyone has the opportunity to do that. Even if you can do that for a Saturday afternoon, creating some space for some quiet, because going out in Colorado allowed me to get away from the drama that I was in.
Where'd you come from before Colorado?
Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Missouri. Yeah. And I've been going out to Colorado for years. So I knew. And I also became very physical. So I was on a trail or a mountain every single day. Now, when I got out there, I was 50 pounds overweight, so it was hard, but every day I was out there on the trail or on a mountain, just soaking in that quiet. And when you're quiet, whether it's for 8 months like I did or a weekend, afternoon on a Saturday, when you're really, truly quiet is when you can go inward and start having those difficult conversations with yourself, those tough conversations about where your life is and how you're where you're going to go. And if you truly want to go there, and if you don't want to go there, be honest with yourself. Say, I'm happy where I am. I'm going on. But if you truly want to change your life, I like that question because I'm a true believer in small action steps, get you to where you want to be. But it's so difficult for some women to create that space to be quiet. But I truly, truly encourage the women who are listening to this now to find some small moments or moments of quiet and do that and just start creating that self-awareness inside yourself. That's basically what happened to me, Julie. That's what I did.
Okay, that's great. I mean, because I know I talk about all the time, I think one of the biggest problems that, you know, women have, especially once you're a mother, or at a certain age, whether it be 40s, 50s, 60s, it's like your life can be, you've got several identities, right? Your mother, your daughter, your sister, your worker, and so many women, because we're nurturers and givers, it's like we get lost in our to-do list, or, that's who our identity is. It's like, that's how we are valuable, by what we can do. Right. And I think that it's hard to carve out the time, because you've spread yourself so thin amongst all the to-do lists and people in your life that you're taking care of. And I'm always saying, it's like, you have to, it's absolutely essential to prioritize yourself, because you cannot, you're so much better, not only for yourself, but for others, if you take time to prioritize yourself. So even if it's, like you said, even if it's a half a day on a Saturday, or, and I'm a firm believer, just like how I learned to meditate, start with 5 minutes. And the other thing I wanted to touch on too, like, I'm such a firm believer, obviously, in exercise. I mean, just moving your body, and it's not so much for weight loss or toning or anything like that. It's like, it just gets you out of your head for like a, 30 or 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever you can do. And being out in nature, hearing your feet hit the ground. I mean, I can't tell you, when I was going through my leaving my husband and going through my divorce, and that, it's like, I can't tell you how many times I would go hiking and I would be bawling on the trail, just like, I mean, I'd see other people and I just didn't even care. It's like, whatever. I just kept going and kept crying, but man, a lot of transformation happened on those trails.
they do. And I had a real, real aha moment on one of the trails in Colorado. But it, gives you, running did that for me. Running is like, well, slogging, I call it slow jogging. I'm not fast by any means, but running did that for me. It gave me this opportunity to start thinking of something besides what I thought was, crap going on in my life. Because then I was like, oh, my legs hurt, my head hurts, I can't breathe, or whatever. But finding that something that you enjoy, it doesn't have to be running, it can be any sort of physical thing, really gets you out of your head and into that moment that you're doing something physical.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you share what that big aha was on the trail, or is that something you want to keep to yourself?
No, I
totally fine.
I'm an open book.
Me too.
It was, I think it was 2 or 3 months after, it was warm, so it's probably June. There was a trail I ran on between Boulder and Golden, Flatirons Vista. It was a daddy trail, and it was a 6 mile trail. And it goes, the first mile of it is this downhill, switchback, rocky, with a bunch of trees kind of trail. And then you come across a low water bridge, and you're really down where the weeds are, so you can't really see anything. And then you come out, and then there's this vista with the Flatirons, these purple Flatirons against these baby blue skies, and really green, and it's quiet, and it smells good. So, and I've been running this trail for a long time. It wasn't, like my first time. So I come out across the bridge into the vista, and I just start bawling, like snot bubbles coming out of my nose. I'm bending down, my hands on my knees. I'm like heaving, sucking air. And I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. But I just cried for a long time, and there was no one on the trail, which is unusual, because it's a very pretty busy trail. And then I started running, and I ran to the next 2 miles. The first, it was an out and back. I ran the 2 miles, and I never felt better, ever, never had felt better in my life. And I went back to the place where I was staying, and I told my friend, I said, I just had this experience, and I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's about. And she said, well, I think that you have finally figured out who you are, where you're going, and what you want to do. And it just hit you all of a sudden, and the toxins were just gone.
Oh.
Yeah. So
bet.
So I had another theory, but I thought that was part of it too. But I thought that was really part of it too, is that I had finally like had enough, and I was just like, blah, demon be gone or
Was an
whatever.
exorcism.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like a real turning point for me, even though I never really figured out why I broke down on the trail. But I was like wiping my face with my t-shirt, and it was, I was a complete mess. And from that day forward, it was like a ton of bricks was lifted from my shoulders. I have
You
no idea
know,
what happened,
well,
but.
you know, the book that you and I are both reading, that Dr. Christiane Northrup book, there's a section in there about, emotional release. And it's like, so often, as, we've talked about before, it's like, as women, we're always putting on that happy face, it's just like pretending everything's fine. I can do this. I can do it all. I'm good. And then it's like for all those times that you've been upset, that you just push that emotion down, it's like, nope. You just keep shoving it down. But it's like, I really feel like, I mean, that with your story, it's like the universe like lined everything up for you. It's like there was nobody on the trail. It was a perfect day, right? And you were just able to just let yourself go. And I really think that, the again, with the movement, it's like it just changes your just the way that you, I think you're more open to things when you're, moving on a regular basis. You feel so much better, you're moving, and it's like that emotion you was just able to move out of you and just free you.
Yeah, that's true. And I also had stopped drinking. I was quite a heavy drinker before I went out there. I started eating better. I was a barista at a local coffee shop. So my job, I had a professional job before. So I like just did my job and went home. But I think also too, I wasn't, by stopping the drinking and by stopping the unhealthy eating, I wasn't stuffing myself self so much anymore, because we drink because we're, well, I drank because I was unhappy. I ate, a lot of chocolate because I was unhappy. A glass of wine made me feel better, so therefore I didn't have to think or feel, or I could continue in my sob story. But once I got out to Colorado, I stopped all that stuff. So I had nothing. I had to deal with, excuse my language, I had to deal with my shit. I had to deal with it. And I think that was a large part of it too, is that. So it's just so many things, and I really can't pinpoint one thing. But I tell you what, and you and I talked about this in your podcast, that episode you did, it's about to drop, is that it was so fearful. But once you get on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I did that, and it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like when you finally do turn around and look at your stuff, because you think it's gonna break you, but it's actually it's gonna help you break through, it's just that's what it is. You have to turn around and look at it. And it's like I remember reading in a book, it's like those that your fear is like that person you've locked in your basement. And the longer you ignore them, the harder and louder they pound on that door. And then you can't have anybody over to your house because they're like, what the hell's in the basement? It's like, oh, never mind that. And it's like, you can't, it's like you have to face it at some point and realize that you will get through it. I mean, like you said earlier, there's some trauma, of course, that, may need, something from the lines of therapy to help you address it so you don't have to do it on your own, or obviously working with a coach. You don't have to work on things like that on your own, but it is possible and so rewarding to get on the other side of that. So tell me now, I mean, you've got this flourishing podcast that is I recommend everyone go check out because it's very, very good. And you got this big growing Facebook group. What else do you have going on? I mean, well, how else have you redesigned your life, by taking that responsibility? I mean, what else have you got going on? Tell us. We want to know all about Shelly.
Well, the podcast and the oh, there's some noise in the hallway. I hope you
That's
can't
okay.
hear that. There's besides the podcast and the group, personally, I am in the best relationship I've ever been in my life. Steve and I have been together since 2012 or 13, I think. And you know, I had just made a decision of what my relationships were going to look like. And I always tell Steve, I'm like, well, you got me at a good time, you got me at a bad time, you got me at a good time because, you know, I'm a totally different person. I'm very happy now, but you got me in a bad time because I just don't take any crap anymore from anybody. You know, hit the door, hit the road, Jack, you know, or whatever. But so that's one, I think, you know, I do have the podcast and I have all that, but I think personally, that's the best thing that has come out of my transformation are these healthy relationships I have. Super happy. And knowing that I have the ability to state what I need and what I want without fear of rejection or not feeling like I can't, like I'm not worthy to have these good things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's really been the best thing to come out of this. Other than I think that's the only, I think that's personally relationships and things like that. But then I think professionally the podcast and the group are really the only two things I have time for. So I have a notion to write a book, but you know, who knows, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Occasionally I do some writing, but for the most part, the podcast is my baby because I love to talk to women who have had transformations and they don't have to have a business afterwards. You know, they just, you know, to inspire and motivate, like, you know, you're doing now to let other women know you can do this. You can do this. And you have women that you can reach out to because my passion and my mission, Julie, is I never, ever want another woman to be sitting at a train track feeling the way I felt ever. It's horrible. I don't want you there. So if my, you know, my podcast or something somebody puts out in the group helps you, then that just makes me super happy. Ugh. Because there's so many women out there who have gone what we've gone through and who want to support you and want to help you through that. Like, you know, we're a good community of women.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is too, it's like, you know, there's so much shame around, you know, I know I had a lot of guilt and shame around having a failed marriage. You know, my parents were married for 44 years before my dad passed away. And so I felt like a complete failure that I couldn't keep a marriage together. And I cheated on my husband. I was just like, who am I? I mean, it was just this awful, I mean,
we've all been there, sister. I've had two failed marriages. So.
Oh my God. I mean, but I was so hard on myself for such a long time and I felt so alone. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't, you know, I just that, and I know it made me sick. I mean, it got me physically ill, you know, not talking about what was going on for me, because of the shame around, you know, like I said, that I had for myself. And, you know, once I was able to start talking about it to somebody else who was like, oh, like you just said, oh, that's no big deal. I mean, you know what I mean? It's almost like you can just take that sigh of relief. It's like, okay, I'm not a loser. I'm not a failure. I'm not a freak. I'm not, you know, a horrible person. You know, I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of another relationship. I mean, and I have to say too, it's like my own journey too. It's like, I was able to create, again, my relationship right now is the healthiest one I've ever been into. It's been a little over 11 years that we've been together. So feels great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I love too that you said you're able to ask for what you want, to speak your truth and not have to worry about, you know, whether or not. It's like, I know I no longer have that fear of losing my partner like I did.
Yeah.
In all of my previous relationships, which is why I would do things that I didn't really want to do and agree to things I didn't want to do because I thought I might lose him.
Yeah.
And it's like, he might lose me.
Here's the thing with that, Julie, is that I, especially in my second marriage with to the guy who was emotionally abusive, I lost that relationship anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. I drank and I stopped and I did what he wanted and I was compliant and I lost it anyway. So
yeah, well, you lost yourself just like I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but there's nothing like me. I remember when I first got together with Paul, I said to him, I'm like, look, I'm happy. If you're with me, great. If you're not with me, great. Because either way, I'm good. You know, it's like, he's just, I mean, and that was a big, huge place to get to for me, to like be happy just by myself, not in a relationship. Exactly. It's like, yeah. Wow, we have so many similarities in our stories.
We do.
I love that.
We should have a Netflix reality show.
Let's do it. I can help you with, because having already written a book, I could help you with that if you needed some assistance, yeah, as far as just like some sort of a framework. Just let me know if you want any information. And also, the gal that I mentioned when I was on a live, Latasha Jimerson.
Yeah.
She helps people write books. So
yeah, I need to do that. I keep saying I'm going to do it and I don't. But
well, it's easier to do it with somebody helping you, just like anything. Yeah. And I did it in a group. A little 4 or 5 person group. It's, if you ever want to do that. Anyway, God, I just love talking to you. You have such an interesting story. You did so great as an interviewee.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said, it's a new thing for me.
No, you're doing great. Very, very well done. Well, listen, I'm going to put all of the things about you in the notes around this posting when I post this in the group. And please check out Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned, the group and the podcast. I highly recommend it. And Shelley, thanks again for taking the time today to hang out with me and chat for the
company. You're very welcome.
All right. You have a good day.
Thank you, Julie.
I'm going to stop recording now.